640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. It's the Gary and Shannon Show, the Mojo Edition. Mo Kelly and Joe Kwan.
Guess what? There's news. Gary and Shannon are going to be back here Monday from 10 to 2. And guess what? That other guy, Handel.
Handel, he's back Monday. Looking forward to it. I don't know if you heard him with Gary and Shannon yesterday. He was sounding good. Didn't get to see him, but I hear he's looking good as well.
So yeah, that's what I was told. Walking around pretty well.
Good. Good, good. You might remember, I would say maybe a week ago, we covered a story regarding a young teen. I think she's maybe 19. And she was brave enough to save her dogs from a bear, which was, I guess, trying to protect her cubs in near proximity.
So the bear was on top of the fence. We're just going to recap.
Yeah.
And the teenage girl, she's 17, like 17, 19, somewhere around there. She saw her mama's baby, her mom's baby, Valentina, the dog, about to get maybe attacked by this. So the teen shoved the bear off the fence to protect the fur babies.
She went mama bear on mama bear.
Yes, which I would totally do as well.
Now, there's word that this Southern California teen, her name is Haley Morinico. She is receiving an award for her bravery. And the courage, I should say, the award is coming from the flashlight company Maglite, and it's going to be given to her by country singer Trace Adkins at a ceremony with the founder and CEO of Maglite on Friday.
Now, this is an award that is typically given to, I don't know, first responders, firefighters, law enforcement, that type of person, but this teen is getting it for being brave.
Let's go back to the teen and have her when she was talking about what happened and what she was thinking.
I had it in me, to be honest. Like, who does that? Who in their right mind pushes a bear?
It was a quiet Monday afternoon until a bear makes its way into this Bradbury backyard. The dogs run out, and then 17-year-old Haley follows them out of the house.
Honestly, I did not know it was a bear until right after I pushed it. I didn't register in my head that it was a bear.
Hold up.
Let's stop right there.
How do you not know it's a bear?
I saw the video. We don't need to rely on her account. There's
it was
a video
fuzzy
of it.
Too.
It did look, if it wasn't a bear, then what the hell could it have been? A big dog? No. It was a bear. The claws were a big giveaway.
What I was saying is the video was fuzzy, and you can tell it's a bear. And if you're in real life seeing that, that's a bear.
And I understand adrenaline gets in the way, and maybe it narrows your field of vision and your focus, laser line focus on protecting your children, your fur babies.
Valentina?
Yeah. I get that. And you're still mad at me.
You
Joe,
get that, but you wouldn't push that bear off the fence.
Look, if there's a bear on top of the fence of my house in the backyard, and my dogs are out there barking at it, and this bear wants to take a swipe at either Benson or Riley, from the safety of my kitchen, I will say, run, Riley! Run, Benson! Get away from there!
No.
Don't let that bear get
Benson,
you.
Benson, Riley, I will take you in, and you and Watson can become brothers, because your dad does not care.
No. You will not be able to take them in because the bear will take care of that. If they're in the backyard with the bear, there's a good chance that they're going to lose to the bear.
That is...
My dogs don't understand danger, and they think barking is actually a weapon to use against larger animals.
They're doing what they tell you to do. You know, National Park Service, they say, act big, don't be scared. So your dogs are just doing what we're supposed to do.
Look, if you blow on my dogs too hard, they will fall over.
Oh.
They're not fighters. They're lovers.
But they have a lot of bark. They just got a loud voice.
They will bark the shite out of you if you walk by.
Wow.
Just walk by and they will give you the most evil bark possible.
Well, now that they know that you won't protect them from a bear in your yard, they might start barking at you too.
No, they don't know what a bear is. They almost got bit by a king snake in our yard the other day. And they're not venomous, but they can hurt small pets. So they were messing with the snake. And then, you know, on our ring device, we're looking like, around. And then I took a closer look. It's like, oh, that's a snake. And then I had to go get them. They don't understand danger.
How long did you let that go on before you went out?
No, they were barking and everything. Them? It was a typical barking noise.
Oh, you didn't
noise.
Answer my question.
How long? I don't know, maybe 20, 30 seconds. Because we couldn't tell what it was. And my wife was there at the time. Actually, I think she saw it, realized it before I did.
So what'd you do?
We went out there and put the hose on the snake.
Oh, so you see, you say you won't do.
I said a bear. I said, I'll even get out there and scrap with coyotes. I said, I'm not getting in a fight with a bear.
No.
A bear.
If anything messes with Watson, be it another dog, a dog owner.
I'm right there with you.
I will.
Except the bear.
Kick the dog owner in the shin. Not the dog, because the dog doesn't know if they're trying to attack my Watson.
Well, put it this way. If it was like a pit bull attacking my dog, I'm going to kick the shite out of the dog.
Oh, okay. Well.
I am.
Okay.
I don't know if that'll be enough, but I have no problem engaging. But a bear, I draw a line at a bear.
Yeah. Well, there's more bears now, apparently, according to the state and wildlife, that there are now an estimated 10 to 15,000 bears that were around in the 1980s. But now, 25 to 30,000. And that's a conservative estimate. So watch out, Riley and Benson.
Well, the reason why we're talking about this is the 17-year-old Haley Marinico, who saved her dogs from the bear on top of her fence. She's getting an award from Maglite. And before you dismiss it as some sort of promotional scheme by Maglite, they also have other bravery-related awards. They are usually for first responder professionals, firefighters, and law enforcement. So this is within their area of expertise. This is what they do. This is not something they did just for a promotion grab or publicity grab.
And she gets that award tomorrow, and it's called the Maglite Tough Award.
Hey, I think it's very cool.
Which you would never get for shoving a bear.
I never would. There are a lot of things I'm not going to get in life, and this is just one of those things. But you know what? The first part of safety is preparation in advance. I know that it's better not to live around bears, so then I don't have to worry about bears being in my backyard.
True.
So there's an easier way to protect yourself against bears. Don't go around them. Don't live around them. Don't be around them. See how easy that is?
Okay.
Now, if a bear should stroll through my hood, someone's going to shoot it long before it gets to my backyard. I promise you, there are people packing everywhere. They're going to shoot that bear and ask questions later. I'm just saying. Gary and Shannon Show, Joquan Mo Kelly, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
It's like boom, boom. I put it in the hoop like slam. Slam. I heard the crowd screaming out jam. I swear that I'm telling you the facts, because that's how I beat Shaq. Boom.
You're listening to KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. This is the Gary and Shannon Show. Mo Kelly, Joquan filling in. And guess what? Gary and Shannon will be back Monday.
Monday.
And that other guy, Bill Handel, Monday.
Yeah, it was good to hear Bill on the station yesterday. And he'll be back to his normal hijinks, I guess you could say, Monday morning at 6 a.m.
Spilling coffee everywhere.
Absolutely. Eating his burrito.
Mm-hmm. Ham and cheese baguettes back Monday.
And probably late coming back from the break because he's down the hall doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch the Floyd Mayweather Logan Paul fight last week?
You know what was more entertaining? Was reading all the tweets about it and how boring it was.
Yeah, not a lot happened during the fight. But there were a lot of people who did pay, and there were a lot of people who did tune in the hopes of seeing either a train wreck or a good fight. More likely to see a train wreck than the good fight. Neither really happened. But if you want to see an actual train wreck in a media circus sense, well, your chance is coming up tomorrow.
Again.
And you should not expect there to be actual boxing or anything really entertaining other than that the circus is coming to town, you could say.
You mean like the last fight? No.
No. This is going to be even worse. I mean, because the last fight, you could say Floyd Mayweather is a legitimate boxer.
Of course.
Former world champion, and you can say, for whatever it's worth, Logan Paul has a legitimate following on social media. So there are real reasons for people to watch.
He's an amateur boxer / pro, using quotes. But this fight, let me just read the lineup. And it's not even the main people. You have Ice-T and Coco. Chuck Liddell, and the main event.
Well, Ice-T and Coco are not going to fight each other. Yeah, They're husband and wife. No. Okay,
they're just part of this whole just a dog and pony show. And then you got Lamar Odom fighting Aaron Carter.
Lamar Odom won two rings, I think, with the Lakers. He's had a number of issues that everyone knows about, substance abuse and marital issues. His personal life has been up and down. I'm happy for Lamar Odom that he's finding something to do with his time. In other words, I'd rather he be focused on this than that other stuff. But at the same time...
Why?
Well, I understand why.
Money.
Money, because you can't generate the type of money that he used to generate in the NBA. And this is a way that he can remain relevant with a small r. I mean, you know, relevant. He'll be on TV.
Lower it's a circus.
R. Yeah. But, I mean, I understand the allure. And this is going to be the next, I'll say, phase evolution of reality TV.
No. No. Why is this happening so much?
Because people are paying for it and there's money to be made.
And Aaron Carter was this young little sweet pop singer that you heard coming out of the break.
Yeah, he's neither now.
And he had a face tattoo and now he's fighting Lamar Odom, who's what, 10 inches taller than him?
Yeah, close to a foot taller.
So there's that.
And it's only for three rounds. The main event is three rounds. I understand a main event in terms of MMA being three rounds because why? Usually 5 minutes or so for each round. These are three-minute rounds. That's not an event. That's a commercial.
That's probably because both of them, again, not being actual fighters, they can't go more than that. I mean, professional boxers have enough of a hard time getting through a standard number of rounds if they're not knocked out, obviously.
Look, I fought in tournaments. There's what they call like point style, which, you know, like Karate Kid is point style. And there's Taekwondo style, yep, where you're fighting continuously in actual rounds. And those are like 2 minutes. I thought I was going
to
die.
Oh, yeah. Every time I would go to a tournament, you know, being one of the few only girls there, it was, and it's not just that, the actual fighting, it's the buildup to it. I'm looking at my opponent, who is typically a guy, and I'm thinking, oh, great. And yeah, I have gotten knocked out quite many times.
But you start fighting and your energy just goes.
Yeah.
Maybe because of nervous energy, or you're just hyperventilating, you're stressed out because it's a high stress situation.
And that adrenaline's eventually going to fade out and you're going to get exhausted. Can you imagine doing, both of us do martial arts, or did, I did, you still do, going that many rounds? So imagine, no. You know, I know he was an athlete. Aaron Carter was a pop singer. Okay. So how is he going to have the stamina?
Athlete training is so different than just working out and being in shape. Especially when you're not a world-class athlete.
They're just doing it for the show, of course. We know this. It's going to be a circus. And not that I'm trying to make sense of the Logan-Mayweather fight, but there was some kind of beef there, right?
Yeah, there was some real animosity. There was some real dislike for each other and disrespect, which led up to this. This is more just performance art.
You know, men... I'm just saying, more recently, I've got two recent examples. Tomorrow's going to be this Lamar Odom, Aaron Carter fight. We had the Floyd Mayweather, Logan fight last week. It's just men. Who has the bigger ego? It just sounds like, I'm going to say it again, urinary combat.
Yeah. It is that. And also, you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the 21st century version of Battle of the Network Stars. Did you ever watch that TV show?
No.
You might be a little too young because I think it came on like in the late 1970s. But they would have stars from different shows and they would compete in this like obstacle course and all sorts of, not necessarily combat, but they were athletic contests. It could have been swimming. It could have been obstacle course. It could have been any sort of thing. But you got to see people outside their normal environment trying to compete against one another. But it would just be on ABC once a week.
But they're not punching each other in the face.
No. But I think it's a way where you get to see these celebrities do things outside their normal skill set.
But this is just, I just think, I'm not saying that no woman would ever do this, but it seems to show that men are doing this. Like, oh, I could fight you in the ring, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I could see Ronda Rousey doing this in a heartbeat against some amateur who says the wrong thing to her the wrong way and says, I'll step in the ring with you, Ronda
Rousey.
Yeah,
but I'm not getting in the ring.
No. But I'm saying I could see, talking about women specifically, I could see a Ronda Rousey doing it, or even a Gal Gadot. I could see her doing it.
I'm just saying that women tend, I'm not saying everybody, tend to be able to sort of control their egos a little bit more.
Of course.
Or they're not going to do something dumb like this.
Absolutely. No, we are dumb. Men are dumb. And we're guided by ego and, you know, a couple other things. But yes, we are simple beings. And I try to tell my wife this all the time. Don't try to overthink why a man does something. We are really transparent.
I tell my female friends about that when they're going through something with their guys, whatever it is. I'm like, just keep it simple, stupid. That's also a rule that applies in news and it applies in life with the men.
I'll talk to my wife sometime and she'll ask me something looking for some deeper meaning. And it is exactly as I said it. So what are you thinking about? I'm hungry.
Yeah.
No, what are you thinking about? I'm hungry.
I'm thinking about food to put in my stomach.
Something wrong?
Yeah.
I'm hungry. You know, it's not that deep. It's pretty simple.
Some of my friends will go down that rabbit hole thinking about, whoa, it's got to mean this. It's got to mean this. I'm like, maybe he was just tired.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of times what will happen is the conversation will be brought up the next morning. Like, so, remember last night? Was something bothering you? No, I was just hungry.
Maybe this is why we would not fight, because we would overanalyze it and then get to the ring and be like, yeah, I'm good now.
Yeah, yeah, okay, move on. It's the Gary and Shannon Show. Mo Kelly, Jewel Kwan, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Listening to KFI AM 640. This is the Gary and Shannon Show. Mo Kelly, Joe Kwan. Guess what? Gary and Shannon are back in their normal slot, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Monday. And so is that one guy in the morning, Bill Handel.
You know, I'm not necessarily a gun enthusiast, but I understand that it is an issue which is very important to many Americans and even more Californians specifically. We've had a very, very fraught relationship with it on a legislative level. We just had the assault weapons ban overturned here in California. So people are talking about it. It's top of mind for many Californians. An OC legislator's bill would effectively ban gun shows at state-owned properties, including fairgrounds. And if you know anything about what's going on in California, there's a very popular gun show which has been held at the OC Fair and Event Center since 1996, and it may have to find a new venue. KFI's own Corbin Carson joins us now to talk about it. Corbin, what is at stake here?
Well, there's a lot. I spoke with Senator Dave Min this morning. The bill is called the Gun Violence Prevention Bill. As you said, it ceases the sale of firearms and ammunition on state property, which would include, county fairgrounds, which would then affect gun shows up and down the state. So the bill passed the Senate and now awaits consideration in the Assembly before potentially heading to the governor. Min tells me, the senator, that county fairgrounds are intended to be family-friendly venues, and instead they've become known for hosting these gun shows. Min says while the Second Amendment protects the rights of individuals to bear arms, it does not require the state of California to use taxpayer-owned property to disseminate more, in his words, deadly firearms into the communities. The senator also says there is a clear linkage between the sale of guns and the likelihood of gun violence in the community, and the state must stop being in the business of selling guns. Then he spoke about several recent shootings, including in his district, which covers Irvine, and he says enough is enough. But I also spoke with Bob Templeton this morning. He's the owner of Crosswords of the West Gun Show. That's been at the OC Fairgrounds in Costa Mesa for decades. He says the bill would hurt jobs, take away millions in tax revenue that's been coming into local jurisdictions. And now Crossroads also holds gun shows at locations other than the fairgrounds, such as San Bernardino's National Orange Show Event Center and the Ontario Convention Center, so the bill wouldn't affect shows like that. But Templeton says nothing illegal is going on at these shows. He says the feds and local sheriffs are stationed at these shows. They're watching everything. And there have not been any serious complaints for decades that these shows have been held in California. He says the bill would only violate taxpayers' right to assemble on land that they've paid for with their taxes. And, of course, that this would rob people of their access to guns, which he says is a violation of the Second Amendment.
So did Senator Min address that this is a big revenue source for Orange County, $6 million in the past 25 years. Did he address that not having that revenue source if this does go through?
He says it's not worth it. He says he's been to gun shows, and he thought of this legislation when his family was attending a family-friendly race at a fair, and his three-year-old was handed a flyer for a gun show. He says there are side deals going on at these shows all the time. He says specifically the sales of ghost gun parts are being sold right on the spot, and that these are guns that no one has to register and that no one knows about. He says people do have a Second Amendment right, but that it doesn't mean the state should be in the business of proliferating these weapons to the masses. He says the argument that these guns are only going to responsible gun owners is a myth. The senator says there are lots of people who are good and responsible gun owners until they're not. He says adding a gun to domestic violence issue or a place where alcohol is involved often leads to murder. Then he brought up 6-year-old Aiden Leos, which we know is the young boy who was killed in a road rage incident on the 55. What is that, coming up on 3 weeks ago? He says Leos lived in his district. The guy who has been charged for the crime, Marcus Ayres, is a guy who can be seen on social media as a person who loves guns and also is being portrayed by his family as a good guy. But Senator Min says when that good guy was upset about a road rage incident, he had a gun right next to him, and now Min says a 6-year-old is dead. Templeton, on the other hand, just to give the response, he says Senator Min has been to these gun shows. He knows nothing is going on that's not allowed. He knows there's federal agents and deputies on the scene. Guns are not allowed to be bought and handed out right at the gun show. The dealer is required to deliver that gun later. He says California already has some of the strictest gun laws in the country. All of these sales are done properly. And he says, as for the ghost guns, the state attorney general has looked into this and is concerned that because ghost guns are still legal and the parts, banning them would only lead to lawsuits. So Templeton says the same applies for gun shows. And he says he's already been threatened with lawsuits if he tries to ban the ghost gun parts, which are, again, illegal. But again, he says Senator Min knows all this, and he's just using this moment for political theater.
This is my next question, and I think you might have just answered it. As a political and practical matter, Senator Dave Min is a Democrat, but is he out there by himself on this issue, or does he have state legislature support on this, at least across his party?
So far, he's getting plenty of support because it's already passed the Senate. So the bill is now heading to the Assembly, and that is the understanding is that he's got the support he's looking for. The question will be, what will be the pushback from you know, the Republican side, I guess you would say, as far as protecting fairgrounds and this right and all this money and all these jobs that have been going on at these gun shows for decades.
Corbin Carson, I have to wonder, given what I said about we're against the backdrop of the overturning of the California assault weapons ban, whether there would be an appetite, though, to your point, for further support of this, or would there be pushback? In other words, did that overturning last week, does that signify possibly a move in this state in one direction or another? How much do you think it may impact this, if at all?
You know, that's a great question. That overturn of the assault weapons ban has already been appealed. So I guess we'd have to see where that appeal goes to see how much push goes beyond just the one judge overturning the ban after so long. the question of, is there going to be any kind of legislation? That's been going on for some time. Every time we see a shooting, we see some, you know, gun safety laws put up, and then we see every once in a while a bill or two or some attempt to be, you know, create some kind of what they call, and I'm using air quotes you can't see, common sense gun laws. But then there's such, you know, there's a push from the other side, and, you know, the pendulum just swings back and forth. So it remains to be seen how both of these issues play out, both on the legislative side and then as for the assault ban on the legal side, to see what's going to actually end up happening.
Corbin Carson, thank you so much, sir.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
You know, this falls under, for me, you know, Senator Min says, our kids should be able to go to a safe place. They're not happening at the same time. There's a lot of regulation when you go in and out of these gun shows. I'm sorry that his child got a flyer or saw a flyer about it. I mean, it's a bit
He's trying
much.
To connect two things which don't connect.
Yeah.
He's trying to conflate our feelings about children and protecting children, which we all are sympathetic
of
to.
Of course.
With a gun show as somehow being opposite the protection of children or somehow endangering children. And that math doesn't work for me.
No, not at all.
But going back to the political question I was asking Corbin, since it seems that the political support is already there, then most likely with the Democrats in the supermajority is going to pass. And that's why I was talking about then the legal implications going back to the assault weapons ban being overturned.
This isn't just going to go.
Right. It's not just, even if it's passed, it's not just going to go through. It's going to be appealed or overturned, probably. This is the Gary and Shannon Show, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. I want you to know. Okay, Joquan. You know quick pop quiz.
Uh-oh.
What was Magic Johnson's number?
6.
That's incorrect. What was Michael Jordan's number?
23.
Okay.
I know that.
All right. What was Kobe Bryant's number?
24. And 8.
There we go. It's the Gary and Shannon Show.
Hey, 2 out of 3.
KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Just wanted to let you know that Bill Handel is going to be back on Monday from 6 to 10. And also Gary and Shannon will be back here from 10 to 2 starting Monday. So put that into your calendar, your iPhone, smartphone, however.
We're ahead of the state curve getting back to normal.
Yes, we are. And it's a beautiful thing. The reason why I gave you that pop quiz, numbers are very important to not only fans, but also players. When you think of a certain player, especially your favorite player, usually their number comes to mind. If you are a longtime Laker fan, you could probably run down all the top Lakers and their numbers. Like Kareem was 33, Shaq was 34. Magic Johnson was 32.
Just Googled that one.
But I'm saying the players that mean something to you, you remember their numbers, or you have their jerseys, of course.
That's why I knew Jordan.
Exactly. The reason why we're talking about this, depending on when you, found out or discovered or saw or recognized LeBron James, you may have noticed a number or a different number over the course of his career. You may have noticed that at a time he was wearing number 6, and there are times where he was wearing number 23, like he was here in LA and he wore number 23 with Cleveland. Okay. But he wore number 6 when he was with Miami, with the Miami Heat. Well, LeBron James is switching his number back to his original, or I should say his number 6 that he was wearing in Miami. I don't necessarily know what that reason is. Many players are superstitious, or they feel that wearing a certain number might be the difference between success and failure. Maybe it's luck for them. Maybe it's like back to basics. We all know that the Lakers did not finish their season in a way in which they would have hoped, coming off a championship season and then going out in the first round.
But that had nothing to do with numbers.
Yeah, you know that, and I know that. But Michael Jordan, who you mentioned, when he started the league, he had 23.
Yeah.
He went on his hiatus. Mm-hmm. When he initially came back, he wore 45.
That's right. And he went, okay.
So, and then they
went
out.
Well, back then it applied, but not right now.
Well, all I'm saying is players have their reasons for switching their number. And I'm not exactly sure what was the reason when Kobe Bryant switched from 8 to 24. it varies and it has different meanings for different players. I've heard players want to have their high school number. They have fond memories of high school. And sometimes when they get into the pros, their number is taken by a superstar or someone else on the team. And usually it's a matter of respect as far as how the numbers are handed out. If you were to come to the Lakers right now and you want number 23, and let's be honest, the Lakers have retired a lot of numbers, so there are fewer numbers to choose from. And you want a number 23, and LeBron James already has 23.
You're not going
to
get it.
Now, who are you to ask LeBron James, even if he was nice enough to give it to you, who are you to ask LeBron James to change his number regardless of who you are in the league?
Plus, Nike's not going to let that happen anyway.
Well, explain that for people who don't understand.
Well, hello. It's money again. Follow the money. That follows so many different headline type of situations. Follow the money.
Well, yeah.
So people buying jerseys, they've already printed out a bunch and they need to, you know, now switch it up. And if somebody else wants it, that's, you know, they got to change everything. It's all about the marketing money side of things.
I'm going to give you a perfect example of how you're exactly spot on. In professional football, they've just changed it where players can get just about whatever number they want. It used to be if you were a running back, you had to be like in the 20s or 30s. If you're an offensive lineman, you had to be 60s and 70s. And if you're a wide receiver, you had to be in the 80s and so forth. They've done away with those rules. And they allow players, I think starting this season, to pick whatever number they want. To that end, the NFL told the players, you can go ahead and do that, but you as the player have to purchase any unpurchased merchandise that we already have available under your then old number.
Oh, wow.
So it goes back to the marketing and merchandising. I know Julio Jones, if you follow like the Atlanta Falcons, he's 10 years in the league. He's getting ready to leave the Falcons, one of the best receivers in the league. He's made it very clear he's leaving the Falcons and he's going to change his number. So
he's going
to
get a bill.
Tyler, so he was traded? That was done?
Yeah, he was traded a couple days ago to the Tennessee Titans and he'll be changing his number from 11 to 2.
So I know he will have to buy up that.
So he's going
to
get a bill.
Yeah, he's going to get a bill from the NFL.
Well, I'm not a person who buys jerseys. I don't know if you are.
No.
Okay.
Well, I have a few jerseys which are more gifts, but I'm not one of those jerseys.
If a player changes his number from, you know, to 6, LeBron James, but you got his old jersey, is that jersey now worth more or is it the same? Or I don't know, as a fan, I don't know. I don't do jerseys no matter who I like.
I don't think it's worth more, Tyler. What do you think? I don't think so because I remember.
Sorry, you go ahead.
You know, I remember when Kobe changed his number. I remember when Jordan changed his number. The 45 Jordan jersey, I think, would be a collector's item because it was only for like 1 year. But that was a very specific time. I don't know if a Kobe Bryant 8 jersey is worth more or less than a Kobe Bryant 24 jersey. Though they were both retired and are both hanging on the wall in Staples Center. And he's the only one in Lakers history to have that happen. So I don't know if one is worth more or less than the other. It would depend on the player's career. Because if you want a Jordan 45 jersey, yeah, it's probably connected to no success. So I don't know if that means anything in a collector's standpoint.
Yeah, I think it's just based off demand. You kind of just got to wait it out. I mean, you can hope that your LeBron James 23 jersey, if you're going to hang on to it for a really long time, you'll hope that it builds value and ultimately has the value that you hope, as any collector would, you hope that it ultimately gains value. But yeah,
it's right. Just based I never understood demand. The whole jersey thing anyway. Why? Can't you just like cheer jerseys. Him on? Oh, sorry, Tyler.
No, it's a big deal to the player, and it's always been a big deal as far as statistics and records and also the just record keeping of a game.
No, I meant as a fan having the jerseys. Why?
Oh, having your What's favorite the appeal? Player
jersey. Like you're
know.
Wearing it to a game. Like, okay, I know so you're at
fan,
the game.
Joe?
Okay.
Hey, you want to represent your squad.
Well, today's jerky day, so, you know, I'm just being a jerk.
No. I'm with you on this one. I've never had a big desire to have another man's name on my back.
I just, they're not cute, so I'm not wearing
it. It's like, I'd rather have my name on a jersey. Yeah, which you can do. Yes, you can have a jersey and then have your name put on it. I would rather do that. But I don't need a LeBron James jersey. That's weird.
There's a lot of safety in that, too.
Yeah, can I get a Mo Kelly jersey?
Sure, if you want to buy one.
Whoa.
I'm not going to just give you one.
Is it on your website?
Today's National Jerky Day.
Are you sure it's Jerky Day or Jerk Day?
Well, based on this,
I think we're covering all of our bases here.
Okay. All right. KFI AM 640, Gary and Shannon Show. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.